The Acts of the Apostles accounts the early church after Jesus had ascended into heaven and the signs and wonders that were happening at the hands of Peter and the other apostles. And maybe one of the greatest wonders, one of the greatest miracles we see in the early church is what we heard today. The community of believers was of one heart and mind. I mean, that's actually astounding. That doesn't happen. And it's a sign of their unity in something other than what we normally tend to take our unifying principle in. It isn't in, you know, ethnic background. It wasn't an economic, you know, equivalency. It wasn't in, you know, we all voted for the same person in the last election. It was in a single thing, and that was Jesus. Their unity was in Jesus and his mercy. We could say that all the people who were together, they don't claim any of their possessions as their own. They're selling their stuff, giving the proceeds to the apostles, distributing it. We could say the one thing that they all had in common was that they knew they were in need of God's mercy and had received it liberally from the hands of Jesus. That was it. That was the unifying principle. And if that's what we all share in common, then really, what can there be that is sufficient to divide us? Nothing. Nothing. We're all sinners. We've all received the Lord's mercy. That's it. We're one in Christ. And so this was significant enough that Luke includes this amongst the list of all the other signs and wonders that are happening in the early church. Because it's inexplicable other than some sort of supernatural divine principle at work here. Because people don't just do that. So this mercy of the Lord is what we, in a very real way, have been celebrating this whole Easter week. That Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. He poured out his blood so that we could be reconciled with the Father, so that we could receive his mercy. That's what Easter is about. That's what we've come to do. That's what we've come to participate in. And in a particular way, the mercy that the Lord wants to bestow on us, we celebrate on this Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. This feast day was instituted by John Paul II around the turn of the millennium because he had grown up knowing about this Polish saint, Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, obviously a distant relative of mine. And she had these visions from the Lord, and the Lord asked for a feast day in honor of his mercy to be established on this day. So John Paul knew this, and once he was the Pope and he could do whatever he wanted, he said, let's make it happen. Canonized her, made this the Feast of Mercy, and instituted the prayer that Jesus had also asked Maria Faustina to have, was the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which has just grown in immense popularity in the last 25 years. So one of the things that Faustina saw in these visions that the Lord told her, he said, it breaks his heart that so few people ask for his mercy. That he's got so much mercy that he wants to bestow, and so few people are actually asking for it. So we can fall into two extremes when it comes to the Lord's mercy. One extreme is that, oh, I don't need God's mercy. I'm doing fine just on my own, thank you very much. And so we never ask for the Lord's mercy. We don't go to confession. We don't think that we need anything. We think, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. So that's one extreme, that we wouldn't ask for the Lord's mercy. The other extreme is that the Lord's mercy can't reach me. I'm too far gone. I've sinned too much, and I'm just hopeless. And so I don't ask for the Lord's mercy. Neither of those places are places we want to be. On this end, not asking for it because we don't think we need it. On this end, not asking for it because we don't think we deserve it. We want to have the balanced place of, yeah, no, I don't deserve his mercy, but he freely bestows it, and I do need it. I desperately need it. I desperately need his mercy. And not just for myself, but there's so many other people who fall into those camps as well. You know, either they're walking along and the world has told them that everything's fine and nothing that they do is a sin, and so that they can live as they want. Say, no, they need mercy, and they need the mercy so that they can convert, so that they can repent, so that they can ask the Lord for his mercy themselves. On the other hand, there's people who think that they're so far gone that the mercy of the Lord can't. They've been away from the sacraments for so long. They've been away from church. They've been away from the scriptures. They've been away from God's love for so long that they don't know that it's possible. Sometimes even people who have come back to the Lord after many, many years away from him can go to confession, have a beautiful experience of his mercy, and then kind of fall back into those sins again and feel like, oh man, it took me so much effort to do it once. How can I possibly do it again? How can the Lord possibly forgive me again? And again, that's where we say we're all unified in the fact that we didn't need God's mercy once or twice. We need it often, regularly, every day. And so we continue to repent. We continue to call upon the Lord's mercy. The prayer of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which we'll pray at the very end of Mass together today, goes like this. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins, atonement for my sins, and those of the whole world. And that's exactly what we just finished celebrating. That's what we're in the midst of. Easter is the celebration of Jesus, the beloved Son, offering to the Eternal Father his body, blood, soul, and divinity for the remission of all the sins of the world, for anybody who wishes to partake in that mercy. That's what we've been celebrating. And what a great gift that we've been able to do that, and what a great gift that today we have two of our school children who are receiving baptism with the water that was blessed during the Easter vigil, the water that was consecrated by the Easter candle, the symbolism that reminds us of God's mercy, the blood and water that poured from his side to cover us and to blot out the sins of the world. That's Easter. You know, so when we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we're tapping into that Easter mystery. But we're also tapping into the Mass, because that's the same thing that we do in every single Eucharist. We offer to the Father the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And so for this reason, I always invite you, as we're bringing the gifts up and we're preparing the altar, to unite to the altar those people that you want to pray for, those people who need God's mercy. Ask the Lord, Lord, I'm putting those people on this altar so that your mercy, the precious blood of your Son, can cover them and they can receive your mercy in whatever form they need that. And so whenever we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, whether we're able to go to daily Mass that day or we're away from Mass, or we're tapping into the mystery of the Mass and the mysteries of our salvation. And so I encourage you, as we pray the Mass today and as we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the end of Mass, just to bring to mind those people, call to mind those people who you want to pray for and ask for mercy, whether they're living or deceased. Because the Lord has so much mercy, and it breaks his heart that his mercy goes to waste. And let's like greedy little children in a candy store just collect all the mercy that we possibly can so that we can bestow it liberally on those around us. Let that be the thing that unifies us here at St. Max, that we're men and women, boys and girls, who know that we need God's mercy, and we're desperately imploring the Lord for it, so that we too can have that unity in his mercy and in his love.